This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan. With bird flu cases in cattle continuing to pop up in Texas and other parts of the country, some are cautioning the need for safety precautions. Great Plains Center for Agricultural Health Director Renee Anthony says that transmission from bird to human is rare, but it happened as recently as 2022.
That hasn't happened since. So finding out what's going on in Texas, it's gone from bird to cattle to human. And so we're a little bit more concerned than we have been in the past. There may be, you know, a limited isolated case happening in Texas, but we really need to be prepared for the next step.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says to avoid diseased or dead animals, and if a farmer is unable to do so, then respiratory protection is strongly advised.
Sorry, guys, put back on some respiratory protection and do some hand washing. So we're really looking at more than just wearing those cloth masks that we used before. We're really looking at wearing these, you know, N95s, if we can get our hands on those when we're working around sick cattle. The less we are breathing in air that may be contaminated with the virus, the lower our chance of inhaling that virus and having a mutated form that's going to affect us.
Peterson Farm Seed lead agronomist Rick Swenson advises farmers to pay attention to field conditions and proper planting depth.
Yeah, just slowing down. I mean, just not even necessarily slowing down, but just paying attention to your consistency. You know, variable conditions in the field, and maybe the planter's not quite set up right, and we're seeing a lot of variability in planting depth, as much as an inch, you know, from one seed to the next, and there's a lot of bushels being left on the table by not paying attention to that stuff. So really just, you know, making sure our seed is at the right depth where we want it to be all along.
Swenson says soil temperature is another critical factor for getting a corn crop started off right.
April's such a versatile month. I mean, just how quickly the temperatures warm up. I mean, below average in April temperatures, you can be in the teens. Below average in May, you're more 30 degrees. So that difference, those 15 degrees, you know, over the course of the month makes a huge, huge difference. And really, there's only two things we can correct. We can correct planting, and we can correct planting timing, right? And those are probably the two biggest things that are impacting some yields for growers right now.
Farmers are still holding on to 2023 corn. NDSU Extension crops economist Frayne Olson says some farmers are still working on marketing plans.
We have been able to push some of that through the system, but when we look at the inventory numbers, a lot of that is still sitting not only in commercial storage, meaning the elevators and the processors, but also on the farm. And those on-farm numbers are pretty substantial, even based on historical numbers. So because of the lower prices, farmers have not been as aggressive in selling their corn. When I go out for meetings and discussions with farm managers, that's one of the first things that comes up is like, well, I know I should have been selling, you know, selling more aggressively or selling more heavily on the corn side. There's a lot of corn sitting in the bin yet. They're struggling to put a marketing plan together that makes some sense.
The market is keeping a close eye on what is left to sell.
Basically, we got confirmation of that with this quarterly stocks report that, yes, the inventories are on farm are pretty substantial. There is a lot left out, and it's not just in the system overall, but it's literally left in farmers' hands. That is one of the things we will be watching through the rest of the season is how fast will farmers, you know, how aggressive will farmers be in trying to price some of that crop that's still in storage? The market is watching that very closely, and it is impacting prices and price movements.
North Star Commodity Managing Director Jason Ward is keeping a close eye on outside markets.
So I'm coming down to a support line that I think is an important level to hold, and it's at 38,500. We're still 1,000 points above that, but it's a nice correction so far in that stock market. The other market I think that people should be watching is the crude oil. We have made new highs for the year. It's creating very positive crush margins for soybean processors. Ethanol margins are improving. So lower grain prices to start the month, new highs in energy. That's not a negative to anybody refining these corn and beans for fuel.
Zahner Ag Hedge Chief Market Strategist Ted Seifried. One is wondering if positivity in outside markets is going to spill into commodities at some point.
I've been sort of fascinated watching gold, up another $20 and really pushing into record high territory. You know, and that's, again, that sort of reflection of concerns of inflation coming back. Crude oil has really been on a tear as well. And the sort of hope, but unrealized hope so far, is that that spills over into the grains markets at some point. But again, so far, that's just really not been the case, and we're wondering if it will be or not.
Even with extreme dry conditions in parts of Brazil, Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordonier expects South American corn and soybean production to be close to last year's production levels.
So the corn production is going to be down in South America. Soybean production is going to be up a little bit compared to last year. Now for the corn, you know, three-quarters of the corn in Brazil is Safrinha production. That, I think, has got some problems, although we don't know for sure. In the southern half of the Safrinha corn, it's now just vegetative development, and they could use the rain for sure. In the northern half, they're probably pollinating right now, and they've been getting good rain. So half the crop is doing good, and then the other half of the crop could use the rain.
The Brazilian crop will need rain through April, but Cordonier says the unknown is what El Nino does with the rainy season.
Usually your last rains in central Brazil, about the first 10 days of May, but the meteorologists all say with the El Nino, you're going to cut off the rain sooner rather than later. And we'll see. The forecast right now is okay, but you're going to need rain for another month and a half to finish off the crop, and no one knows when the rainy season is going to end until it actually ends.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Bison Association will meet for their annual spring conference this weekend at Detroit Lakes. Minnesota Bison Association Executive Director Adam Ulbricht says it will be a great time to reflect on positive movement in the bison industry.
Ever since COVID, we have seen just a tremendous amount of demand for bison meat. And with some of the struggles of other proteins, which you never like to see, that price parity has really shrank. And so, really our meat right now is very competitive compared to a lot of other animal proteins. And so people really got a taste of bison. They really enjoy the flavor. They really enjoy the health benefits that come from, you know, ultimately being one of the healthiest red meats out there. And so, you know, that's always an exciting thing.
Calving season is underway for bison ranchers this spring.
The earliest calves actually have already started to hit the ground. We've gotten some reports and seen some photos of those early season calves. But yeah, really here in April and over the next 2-3 months, we're really going to see the vast majority of calves. So it's a really exciting time. You know, I think if you talk to any bison rancher, they will say this is their favorite time. They love seeing those fresh calves running around on what will hopefully be green grass, assuming we get just a little bit more moisture. But yeah, so calving season has started. It's going to continue over the next few months. And again, hopefully that plays out well and works well with our weather.
Advanced Trading Commodity Research Analyst Brian Basting says the jitters continue in the cattle market.
Obviously some severe losses earlier this week, trying to steady the ship here a bit as the market gets its arms around what that really means. We'll see how that transpires. I think we just got to let it play out. We saw some decent beef export sales this morning. Up over 50% from the four-week average. So hopefully that hasn't discouraged beef buyers yet. We'll have to take a look and see what next week's report was after this. This report really didn't capture. It was as of last Thursday, so I'm not sure it captured all the news, if you will, of the bird flu.
Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson says that volatility in that cattle market, there are a few factors at play.
We're still kind of trying to figure out this avian flu and the dairy cow thing. We're down in the cattle fairly hard again. But the funds were big sellers last couple of days in the cattle where they've been quite long. Concerning thing in the cattle, the slaughter weights keep increasing every week here, which means just cattle are getting backed up a little bit, or they're feeding them heavier. Slaughter rates are just, 20 to 25 pounds heavier than a year ago. So that may be a little concerning down the road, but, cash just kind of looked like it might be steady, maybe slightly weaker this week.
Country futures market analyst Daryl Holliday said the grains continue to be range-bound.
Kind of established on the front end of the corn market, 445 on the top end, 425 on the bottom end, and we tested that yesterday. We tested both those in the last week, if you think about it, right after the USDA numbers on the top end, and then earlier this week on Tuesday on the bottom end. So the big picture, you got a range, pretty decent, 20-cent range on the corn. You've got the soybeans the same way. You're carrying, their true basic range is from about a 25-cent range from 11.95 to 11.70 area. So, and we just trade within that in the big picture. We also trade, it narrows up the range during the day too. And same goes with wheat. We've made several trips down, and we're trading in about a 30-cent trading range there also.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending March 28th shows combined old and new crop corn export sales of 959,000 metric tons. That's 28% less than the previous week and 22% below the four-week average. Soybean sales of 194,000 tons are 49% less than the previous week and 62% below the four-week average. There were no new crop soybean sales. Combine old and new crop wheat sales totaled 278,000 tons. That's 49% less than the previous week and 9% less than the four-week average.
The North Dakota State University Foundation has announced a new endowment establishing the Joe and Norma Peltier Vice President for Agriculture. NDSU Vice President for Agriculture Greg Lardy will be the inaugural holder of that endowment. Special medallion ceremony celebrating the Peltier family and Lardy will occur during the NDSU Foundation's Evening of Distinction event April 25th. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven believes that once built, the NDSU Ag Policy Research Center will have an impact on American agriculture. Its focus will be on helping to inform decision makers that might not have as much knowledge about the ag industry.
Where are the areas that we focus in on? And clearly crop insurance is right at the top, but we also want to do more in terms of livestock risk management. One of the interesting concepts that came up today is how do we help with all these issues around, pesticides and those kind of things? Because, we've got to be able to apply fertilizer and pesticides to crops. At the same time, there's a lot of pushback from a lot of different areas from folks that really don't understand agriculture, and so that's a whole other area where we can have a big and a meaningful impact.
Hoeven expects the research center to cover a variety of ag-related topics.
One of the other areas that's been talked about is having a role in dairy. I think that's one where we might find a relationship on something like that. But clearly some good ideas where we can have a big impact when you're talking crop insurance, you're talking risk management for livestock, you're talking about how we work ahead on the curve with inputs and pesticides so our farmers can continue to do what they need to do to raise their crops.
Taking a look at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis, May wheat trading 5 cents higher at 6.44 and a half, September 4 and a half higher. Chicago wheat down a half penny at 5.55 and a half. Kansas City 4 and 3/4 cents lower at 5.75 and 3/4. May corn futures 3 cents higher at 4.34 and 3/4. December corn 2 cents higher at 4.73 and a quarter. Soybeans May futures down 3 cents at 11.79 and a quarter. November soybeans down 3 and 3/4 at 11.81 and a quarter. Live cattle, April futures 75 cents higher at 181.67. June live cattle, 30 cents higher at 175.90. Feeder cattle, April, $1.80 higher at 242.75. April lean hogs up 25 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.